We want to talk a little bit about what is the gospel. I think it's a really important topic. I have Greg Taylor with me, Jonathan Bilema in the studio with me. And we've been talking about grace, and we've talked some about Ellen White and her writings. And now I really want to know what you guys thought the gospel was as you were growing up and your experience in Adventism. And we'll start with you, Jonathan. What did you think the gospel was?
The gospel was the three angels' message that the hour of God's judgment has come. We need to start keeping the Sabbath because that's going to be the last day test. Yeah. And that we need to tell other people that Jesus Christ is coming soon. So they need to come out of their Sunday churches and start worshiping on the true day of worship and start eating food that's not, you know, of the unclean meats and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that they need to stop wearing jewelry and things like that. That was the gospel.
So the gospel, there were a lot of distinctive Adventist teachings, and that was the gospel. Greg, what was your experience? Was that pretty much the same?
I think it was grace plus works mm-hmm. equals eternal life, and that they were kind of in balance. Yes, you're saved by grace through faith, but your works is a part mm-hmm. of that. And if those things aren't there, then you could lose your salvation.
Greg, you're an Adventist pastor from what years? Tell me the years.
1981 till 2001.
Okay, so in that time span, if someone would come up to you and say, Pastor Greg, what's the gospel? What would you have said?
I evolved over the course of time.
Early on, would
have been, well, as a pastor, I already was a born-again believer. But I still emphasized the works piece of it mm-hmm. to the point where I believe that I was trying to – well, Romans talks about it in Romans 7 about the being married to two individuals. Mm-hmm. The old has to die in order to be alive to the new, in order to be alive to Christ. And I was trying to keep the law alive and this relationship with Christ alive at the same time, and it ends up with a marriage conflict. It's like being married to two women at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's a religious bigamy.
I was talking to an Adventist pastor about a year ago, and he was saying, well, you and I probably don't define the gospel the same. He says, I believe the gospel is more than just the grace of God. I believe the gospel also encompasses the word of Jesus, the message of the soon return of Jesus, and other things, you know, eating well, health message, that kind of things. And I said, well, you know, we're not really left to define the gospel for ourselves. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul clearly defines what the gospel is. I'm going to read it because I know we can sit and we could discuss, and again, it would be a great topic for a Sabbath school class. You know, what is the gospel? But we don't have to grasp and look at what it is. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he says, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And then he tells it what the message is. He tells us what it is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel, as defined by the Apostle Paul, who the Lord used to write most of the New Testament, he says is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That saving event, finished work of Jesus Christ, is the gospel.
Absolutely.
Now, when did that dawn on you? I mean, was it later on in your ministry? Was it part of the process? Because I think that's a revelation right there. I think, wow, it's not the health message. It's not the state of the dead. It's not that Jesus is returning soon. It's not the three angels' messages. It is the cross event and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Was that a gradual revelation for you? Was it a sudden thing, Jonathan? Was it a...
You know, I used to look at other churches and think that they were so weak and so lacking in understanding because all they did was talk about Jesus. You know, it's just Jesus and we're saved because of Jesus. And I was like, well, you guys don't even know about the Sabbath. You don't even, you know. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that the Adventist theology basically takes the simplicity of the gospel and makes it something that's so complicated, like a deeper understanding, that you have to have a deeper knowledge of the Bible to really understand the good news, you know, when it's so simple. What happened for me was after being around other evangelical Christians, I started to see how just that simple message that Jesus Christ came, died, went to, and rose again from the grave, how that simple message changed and transformed people's lives. Whereas all my life, all I got was information that made my life more miserable.
You know, that the gospel is added to, and that you had this sense of looking down on other Christians because they had the simplicity of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I've noticed that even recently in Adventist writings, especially the Adventist Review, Clifford Goldstein's comments, often deriding other Christians for not having the light that Adventists have. But the gospel, as defined by Paul, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Maybe that explains why other churches are growing faster than the Adventist church. I mean, the gospel is the power of God. I know that they'll tout 14, 15 million believers, but most of those are converts from other churches. They're not really people who are making the decisions for Christ for the first time. I mean, it's been my experience that they proselytize a whole lot rather than seeing brand new converts. But I'm wondering why, if you saw a powerlessness in ministry, Greg, before you understood the gospel, when did you see the power come into your ministry? Because the gospel is the power of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness to it, right? Did you sense that power in Adventist ministry?
It began to be a problem. You know, I saw, as I became more and more aware of the gospel of Christ and made it more central in my teaching, more power came. Growth began to happen. There were critics of that would say, well, you're making it too simple. We had those problems. But even though I was downplaying some of the other things and lifting up Christ, there were still some undealt with issues, and those undealt with issues were subsurface in Adventism. And so a lot of the people coming, you know, had a really hard time grasping the gospel because of all the other stuff. So we found that we had to move away from using a lot of Ellen White's writings and things like that. In fact, as I associated with other pastors, I have never seen an Adventist church that was dynamically growing, that most of them weren't dynamically growing, but those that were growing somewhat were ones that were not emphasizing Ellen White's writings.
Outside of perhaps the institutional churches where there's a large crowd anyway, because you've got a hospital or a university or something like that.
Yes, absolutely. So that was where the simple gospel is preached and people began to grasp it.
Now, your church grew, Greg.
I mean,
your church was growing. People were coming from all over, weren't they, because they heard something different.
Yes.
Even if they couldn't put their finger on it, they were hearing grace.
Yes.
And your church in what conference was it?
It was in the Carolina Conference.
Yeah, it was a strong church. It was growing, adding. There was a lot happening.
Yes.
And you would credit it to the message of grace that was emphasized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Jonathan, you've had a lot of experiences. I've talked to you going all over the country. It seems like you know everybody in Adventism. It's so fun to talk to you. What do you see about do you see any growth in churches? Do you see the guys that are a little more grace-oriented, there's more happening, or do you think there is maybe a glass top in Adventism that you can preach grace, 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 but eventually you can't go beyond a certain sphere because you get the doctrines in the way? I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you've seen a lot. So tell me what you see. Share with us.
Well, it's kind of funny, but in 1994, I was in high school. That's when I was saved. When I got saved, I got more involved at my high school, you know, in Bible studies with other students and so forth. So growing up in Berrien Springs, where Andrews University is, you have a lot of seminarians who are there for training. And that year, one of the seminarians that used to come to our academy took me on a trip to Willow Creek. Mm-hmm. And we went there to Willow Creek, and I was the only high school kid there. Everybody else was in the seminary doing their master's in divinity. And they were there to learn how the church grew, you know. And now when I look back on it, I see all these years of these Adventist pastors going to Willow Creek, going to Saddleback or other churches that have grown to learn how they can make their churches grow. I've not seen one that has actually, you know, mm-hmm. produced any of that fruit. And it's really because you cannot harmonize the gospel with the writings of Ellen G. White and all this other doctrine of works and other—I won't say the word—but you know, just other things. Mm-hmm. The churches that are growing are, from what I see, are churches that really take the gospel. They say they preach the gospel, but they really don't. They preach a message of just everything is almost relative, in a sense. Mm. And I know we spoke about Ellen White earlier, but one of these churches that I'm speaking about in particular, they will tell you, the pastors will tell you, we don't teach the doctrines, we don't preach the doctrines of the Adventist Church for you to be baptized here. We don't preach Ellen G. White to you. But the same pastors will tell you that we know that Ellen G. White plagiarized. We know that she had made many mistakes. But at the same time, they'll also say, just the same way that she was inspired, the Bible writers were inspired.
Oh, wow.
So they made mistakes too. Oh. And so we have to basically take the word and think about it. And then whatever seems right to us is the way we're going to go. Theologically.
Of course, this is the same thing the Mormons have done. You know, they'll say, well, we believe the Bible as far as it is translated correctly because it mm-hmm. it contradicts Mormon doctrine, mm-hmm. so they have to tear down the Bible. I see then the same thing happening in Adventism because Ellen White has been exposed to be a plagiarizing prophet. They have to find a way to tear down the Bible, whether it's done consciously or not. It is the attack on Holy Scripture. And I think mm-hmm. Adventists who have been taught to love the Bible, because I know I was taught to love the Bible. The Bible was – that's why I was an Adventist. The teachings were found in the Bible and the Bible alone. Mm-hmm. Though we still had this kind of a complicated relationship with Ellen White. But to now see this real attack on the Bible, the very book that is claimed to be the fountain of Adventism and the source of truth, I would be appalled as an Adventist. I know as someone looking in now, I can see it so clearly. That would raise questions in my mind. How about you, Greg?
Well, yes, I have some dialogue with some people still in Adventism that are pastors and. The struggle that I see them going through as they know the message of the gospel and are trying to harmonize it and kind of make Adventism grow up into a New Covenant evangelical church, the struggle is that if you can't talk about the problems, if you can't really face some of those issues, as long as you have this superstructure of certain doctrinal positions— then there's only so far you can go. You're essentially limiting. You're saying the Holy Spirit can lead us as long as He leads us within this mm-hmm. particular box. Take, for example, a tiger shark. You put a tiger shark, a little tiger shark in a small aquarium, it mm-hmm. will never grow very
That's
big.
That's right. It's limited.
If you put it in a larger aquarium, it will grow larger. But if you put it in the ocean, it can grow quite large. Well, I don't want to liken the Holy Spirit to a tiger shark, mm-hmm. but the Holy Spirit will not. He's not invasive. He allows us to place limits because he's that kind. He's gentle. And if we put him in a little box, then that's all the blessing we can get. That's all the leading we'll get. If we expand ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, you've got more room. And that's what I see happening with some of the evangelical Adventist churches are saying, we're going to give the Holy Spirit a little bit more room, mm-hmm. but we're still going to keep the certain things in place. Well, I don't believe the Holy Spirit wants to be limited by our preconceived ideas. I believe he wants us to just give him full access to lead us in the Spirit and lead us in the study of the Word and to the discovery of God's plans for our lives and what the gospel really means. When we do that, we find that growth really happens exponentially.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty,
yes.
the Scripture says. Now, early on in this segment, we were talking about grace and the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That definition isn't left up for grabs. It's given to us by inspiration. It's in the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now, we're saying the gospel is salvation by grace through faith alone plus nothing.
Absolutely.
Ephesians 2:8-9. Mm-hmm. I do want to say something, though, about lifestyle, because I know one of the criticisms about teaching that the gospel is the saving life, death, and resurrection of Christ will lead to immorality, or there's the misunderstanding that those who teach this do not believe also in living a godly, sanctified lifestyle, to use terms most people that we're listening right now are familiar with. Is the gospel of grace, does it lead to loose living, I guess is the question. And I'm going to – you want to respond first?
Yes, I'll be happy to. The gospel of grace does not produce bad fruit. It does not. The book of James is about that. It's saying, you know, you show me somebody justified by grace, and I'll show you somebody justified by works. You know, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. That whole piece that James says, and I was confused as to what James was talking about when I used to study it as an Adventist. I used to think that shows that, you know, one oar is faith and one is works, and that's how you get across the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, mercy.
No. Yeah. What he's saying is that your testimony is worthless. If you claim to be following Christ, your testimony is worthless if there's not some lifestyle that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. I've said, you know, the message of James is that I'm justified by faith in the eyes of God.
Yes.
But I'm justified by works in the eyes of people. Am I a Christian? How are they going to know unless I'm living the life of Jesus on earth?
The people that I know, and I can just testify for my wife and I and for our family, as we have devoted ourselves to the study of God's grace and making that central in our lives, God has done more transformation in us than in all those years that we were involved in Adventism. And we were sincere believers in Adventism. So I love the Adventist Church. I love the people in the Adventist Church. You know, this is my heritage. This is my family. This is, you know, I don't go around being upset with Adventism. I just grieve because there's this limiting factor there when we really truly sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ, We are more sincere about the way we handle our finances, our generosity, our thought life, the way we live. We are much more careful about the way we live than we ever were. So
that's significant,
that
Greg.
True.
We were talking just yesterday about our lifestyle and talking about how important it was to stay pure and stay right and wanting to finish the race well. We were just talking about that yesterday. I mean, it's on our hearts. It's not like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm saved by grace and don't have to keep the Sabbath. It's so far from that.
Absolutely.
The Spirit of God works in our lives to make us more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I found out coming out of Adventism and really starting to enter the larger body of Christ is that there were people that have been teaching the simple gospel of grace that I used to think didn't quite have it all together because they just didn't understand, as Jonathan was saying, didn't understand as much as we did and didn't have the whole truth. these were people that had a maturity far beyond what I had. Mm-hmm. And these were the people that I used to look down on were actually people that I needed to go to for mentoring and say, how do I mature in this area? How can I grow in this area? What does it mean to be a Spirit-led, Bible-believing Christian? What does it mean to really walk grace out mm-hmm. in my life? And these were people that had been gracious and kind and loving and have a maturity far beyond anything that I'd ever known before. And so I had to repent of my
attitude.
So
there's mega fruit there.
Oh, yes.
And the grace of God creates fruit. I know that you could argue, well, I know Sunday Christians that don't live the way they should, but that by the same standard, are there Adventist Christians that don't live a godly lifestyle too? Yes. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I would say no one believes in the Christian community that you can be saved by grace and live any way that you want. The work of the Holy Spirit transforms us, but it's not the root of salvation. It's the fruit mm-hmm. of
right.
being saved.
Absolutely.
Jonathan, have you seen that in just a few minutes that we've got in this segment left, do you have observations of how grace has changed things in people's lives, friends mm-hmm. that you've seen in your life?
Absolutely. I am. Grace is the reason why I'm here, you know.
Because you were the bad boy growing up, I heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely, the bad boy. You know, I, as an Adventist, and I think a lot of Christians out there too may fall in this, I had a misunderstanding of grace. I used to believe that grace was basically, I did a bad thing, oh, but God's just going to turn the other way. He gives me grace, you know. I really didn't understand what unmerited favor meant and so forth. As an Adventist, and really this falls into any religious, legalistic upbringing that people may be coming from, I used to order my life according to behavioral Christianity. If I do this better, then God will, you know, grant his grace on me, give me his favor, you know. And it's just kind of like a person who is on a diet, you know. If you keep telling them, well, I'm on a diet, I'm not going to eat chocolate anymore, what are they going to be thinking about all day long?
Exactly.
Chocolate, you know, or they're going to think about all the things they need to abstain from, and they're going to be miserable, you know. But if, as a believer, if all I really focus my life on, my mind on, my heart on, is God's grace, his divine ability to get it done on my behalf when I'm not able to, that is what has brought victory in my life on many different things I used to struggle with. You know, you're looking at a guy who had trouble with anything from gambling to, you know, running around at night, you know, mm-hmm. going to different clubs and so forth. What took that away? God's grace.
I think, don't you, when you have acceptance in Jesus Christ, you realize that God accepts you 100%, 100% of the time, mm-hmm. that salvation is not dependent upon my performance, but upon what Christ did for me.
Exactly.
There is such a relief, and now you're free mm-hmm. to serve the Lord. And sin's power is broken. There is, I know for folks, there is a sense that I'm never going to overcome. And that's why a lot of Adventist young people are throwing in the towel, mm-hmm. because they have never experienced the power of Jesus Christ to fill them with joy, peace, assurance, and victory. The victory has nothing to do with our getting saved, having victory. It's a total fruit and work of God in our lives. I do have a scripture I just wanted to share. I think it's so appropriate. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. It, the grace of God, instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." Mm. So there's this work of the Lord in our lives. It's the work of grace. It's not anything that makes me saved, but it's something that surely is a fruit mm-hmm. of the Lord in my life. And I'm excited about that.